I want to welcome you to our home care administrators professionals affinity group. I don't even know what we're calling it, but home care administrators, I think. You all know me. I'm Lisa Smith, the chief program officer. And I'm so glad that we are here. Every small group is a gift. We did have 10 people registered. We'll see if more people come. Wanted to just let everyone know in advance that we have to end early today at 1:45. So that gives you, you know, ample time to do whatever you need to do before your next Zoom meeting. I wanted to, of course, thank and welcome Marissa Gordon from Ruth Rails, Boca Raton, Florida, and Debbie Balk from JFS Cincinnati, your co-chairs. It's so great to be able to work with them. And just FYI, they're going to be on for the next year, but the year after, Marissa will be taking her, I guess we'll be saying that someone else can take her place. So if anyone's interested in 2022, let me know and we can move forward from there. But anyway, that's it for me. Debbie, Marissa, I don't know who wants to start the conversation.
Well, it's a small group right now. We've kind of agreed that this round robin, giving everyone a chance to bring up a topic, has worked well because there's just been so much going on for all of us and we have a lot in common. And then maybe, you know, 2 minutes at the end, if anyone wants to suggest a specific topic for the next time, that would be helpful. Otherwise, I think Debbie and I will just continue with the round robin. We used to have topics, but that was when life was calmer.
It seems to be changing all the time.
Right. So, I mean, we can just right now start with a check-in going around. So, Elise, if you want to start, just check in with us and how's things going?
Sure. How's things going? I think same stuff, different day, different week into the next month. I'm still in the early phase of the learning curve because we just, you know, got the home health agency in May, but I've learned a lot and I've also worked home care in my career. So I feel okay with that. But, it's the same issues. It's the frustrations with staffing problems, you know, across like all of the vendors. And, I don't feel like anything's changed. We're doing different incentives and increased pay. Rates are increased. I mean, it's the same story for all of us, right? But, one day or 2 days you say, oh, maybe it's getting better. We just hired 3 people. But it's really not, you know, not in the greater scheme of things. It's still pretty much the same. That's really about it at this point.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Art, please, do you feel like, what are the incentives you're using and what do you feel like any of them are working?
They've increased the hourly rate. There's sign-on bonuses. There's like referral if someone refers a friend or someone. And then there's something, and I don't know the details, but if they bring someone on and that person either stays through, I forget, X number of hours or some period of time, there's just, that's another added incentive. What we just talked about earlier this week before the holiday, and we didn't make a decision yet, so I'd be interested if anyone's tried this, is to have X number of people salaried. So they are ready to go. And if there's nothing for them to do, they're still going to get their pay. But, you know, if there's a shift that's open, they would be expected to go. The problem is the distance. You know, we go down to Boynton, but we also go further north. So if someone lives somewhere, you know, if they live in the north end of the county, they're not going to want to drive down to Boynton necessarily. So my solution for that was just, well, you just need a couple of people in different key locations. So they would be able to staff it. So that's something we just tossed around on Monday when we met. I'd love to hear if anyone is doing that or has thought of that.
I've thought about it. I'm a little worried. Natasha and I discussed it. A few weeks ago when I was like panic mode, came up with like a whole list of ideas. Some we implemented, some we didn't. that's a riskier one to implement depending where you are in your revenue and budget. We are not happy with where we are and it's a little scary. So I could see doing something like that on a trial basis, but really, really saying, okay, you know, we're going to, how long would it take to see if it's working? But with something like that, it shouldn't take long because you start small. I would think, you know, don't do a lot. Take two people, make two people, right? And then at the end of that month, look at all the shifts they did and think to yourself, if I hadn't had them, would I have been able to staff these cases, these hours? Because most likely it's going to be substituting or, you know, we thought of doing that specifically with weekends, but of course that doesn't work because no one's available anyway. So nobody's going to agree to the.
No one wants to work Sunday.
Right. So actually my answer now is different than what it would have been a few weeks ago, or a few months ago. I was like, oh, this is great. Let's try this. But right. Now seeing what the shortage is, I don't even know who we would guarantee that salary to, because they're actually not willing to work.
Right. Those that are salaried are working.
Exactly.
Right. We have salaried staff. Because we were purchased from another home care, we have a block of about 10 to 12 salaried staff that are also benefits eligible. And then everybody else we've hired since the acquisition has been part-time until we transfer them. But I can tell you the salaried people don't want to work. Like if they're getting, you know, like I can just tell you, like I can have I have right now 4 open shifts in the next 24 hours that I can't get my salaried people are, first of all, already working 36 to 39 hours, which is the expectation. And then I can't get them. What am I going to do with them? Where am I going to, you know, and my part-time folks don't want to pick up any more than what they already do, even if I promise them overtime, it's interesting. I didn't realize that not everybody had some salary. So and all those folks were grandfathered in, like I said, but I'm not sure that salaried, in my experience, would fix your problem because I have some that won't go where I need them to go.
But how can, Debbie, how can they refuse if they're salaried? I don't understand.
Because as long as they're already working their 36 hours, they're not required to pick up an additional shift.
Well, how many hours can they work? Like what is your max 40. That they can work before they-
37.5. Is their max
37 and a half.
So all my salaried people are full-time, you know, have a full-time client.
Okay. So 37 and a half is your full-time. So right. They're already working 36. So you're just asking them to take an hour and a half shift, which they're refusing.
Well, I'm asking them maybe to take another 5-hour shift or something, but then I would have to pay them overtime for the
and they're refusing. 37. Okay, they're so they refusing. Have the right to refuse
but
that.
Since they're already working that many hours, it sounds like what if you made a couple more people salaried?
Right, which is the other option, but benefits is not an incentive either. I mean, benefits, being salaried and benefits is not an incentive because they lose government programs if they make too much money or work too many hours. They lose childcare vouchers, they lose—
Exactly.
You know, and so— exactly. We always call it the cliff. Like, what's the number that's going to send us over the cliff that it's not worth it? It's the same cliff that we experience, right, with unemployment.
Right.
They were doing the math. It doesn't pay for them to go to work if they can make $20 an hour not working and only $13.50 working, you know? So it's the same cliff. It's just in a different situation.
So at least I think what you said really is the answer. If they want to work full time, they are. The only reason somebody would want to do that is like as a gamble. Oh, maybe there'll be a quiet week and I will get paid anyway. But that's not what we're in this for.
No. And there's always shifts to pick up.
And there's always something to pick up. So the fact of the matter is anyone who wants to be available 40 hours a week is and is working. So who's going to even probably accept that?
And they're probably working two jobs, one for us for 40 hours and one for somebody else for 40 hours.
Yes, I do.
You know, I was just wondering, like, if someone's working, you know, like for your agency, Debbie, and they're working, you know, their full-time hours and anything, if they put on, they would get, in addition to that, they would get time and a half. What if we incentivize time and a half for those who really want to work in some kind of, if you work I'm making it up, but if you work 5 hours or more, 5 to 10 hours overtime, you get an extra $25. If you work 10 to 15 hours overtime, so to help incentivize people who want to keep
that's
working.
That's going
to
kill your budget.
I'm losing money. Yeah,
that's going to kill your budget. You're paying overtime, not charging Plus for that. It, and then giving them more. You're just losing money. There's no reason to even do it.
But are you not charging the overtime?
We do. We do charge overtime when we can. We do charge overtime when it's...
Right.
I guess everyone's
different. It just becomes complicated because we could only charge overtime like in a situation where a client is specifically asking for it. But if we're in a situation where we have to staff the caregiver overtime because we don't have someone else, we're losing because we have to pay them overtime, but we don't have anyone to charge that to.
If the caregiver's with the same client?
Or if they're not, if a caregiver is working for a client and they need to take off or something, right? And we need to find a substitute.
Right.
And the only substitute we can find already works 40 hours. We can't charge that client overtime because that's the only person we could come up with. It's not their fault. But if they love their caregiver and they want them to do an extra day, which is going to push them overtime, because they have other clients already, let's say, or because it's a 24/7 case, then they have to agree to pay the overtime.
Gotcha, okay.
So who else? We have got a bunch of people that have joined today. So Tatiana, did you wanna check in with us?
I just wanna say before you move on to Tatiana, who we wanna hear from. I mean, this is really a problem across all industries throughout
all
the network.
All hourly working,
right, throughout the network. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard. And everyone's struggling. So don't feel
alone.
It's even
in the private sector. My brother owns a cleaning company. Terrible. Cannot find people to work. Turning away business left and right. Tatiana, how are you doing?
Hi. Oh my, I haven't seen you in a while. Yeah, actually, it's one of my problems that I'm kind of one person band and participate in so many Zoom calls, and I kind of a little bit upset with my coworkers. They don't really back me up on those Zooms. So I don't really have much insight in terms of how we're doing with the hiring of the caregivers. I know it is an issue, especially if we hire Russian-speaking workers, so it's been always a problem. But I know we kind of right now we're still able to manage the situation. So the most exciting thing in the home support department that happening right now is that we finalizing our manual for the home support department. And thanks everybody who shared the information. I believe the project coordinator from GFS, she reached out to the group, and some of you did share whatever policies you were comfortable to share. So we were able to come up with a manual that we finalizing hopefully by the end of September. So that includes like journey descriptions specifically for the private clients with a little bit of exception for the Holocaust survivor funded by claims conference. But the main focus was to standardize and clarify the client's journey at the GFS and the private client's journey at the GFS for the home support. It includes the risk management, the HR, the grievance policies, access to provincial funding in terms of paying for the home care services. So it's been very exciting project that I've been part of, hopefully we will come up with some final product that will help us to take our services with the private clientele for the next level. So that's what we're working on right now in the home support department.
That's big.
That's a lot of stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Should we just keep going around, do you think? we'll just, Christine, you got back on, so that's great. You would like to check in?
Hey, everyone. Yeah, sorry. I was in my, I remoted into my desktop, which means I'm not in my office, so I couldn't use the camera that was there, and it took me a minute to figure out what was going on. But anyway, hey, I'm the program director for Gulf Coast Jewish Family and Community Services, our elder and disabled services. We have a homemaking department, a counseling department, and then like some general revenue departments too. So in our homemaking, we're seeing it with the providers that we contract out for our general revenue services. We cannot get anybody staffed. It's just constant.
Oh gosh.
Cycle. So it's not just, you know, here in Florida, it's the same as everywhere else. I don't know. I'm sorry, again, I missed the beginning, so I don't know what was already spoken about, but our homemaking department, what we're looking at right now is staffing, of course, is an issue, but our agency recently mandated vaccines right before the federal announcements came out. They had started that process a little bit earlier, and I have lost, I think we were down to 27 homemakers. I think we normally have about 40, and as of right now, we're losing 16 of them because of that mandate. So I'm not sure, you know, we put it out there, we raise, we're doing incentives, sign-on bonuses right now for full-time, sign-on for part-time, bonuses for employees who bring on other employees for the department, and we are just, I don't even know what to do right now. We're just completely at a loss. And, you know, like everybody else, it's very hard when we're serving such a sensitive population. So it's not just about the money component, it's about these
people. Right, the need, not meeting the need.
Yes.
Christine, you have a homemaking service, it's licensed like through ACCA as a homemaking companion service?
We don't do personal care, but we do.
Right. We used to have that at JFS before the home care. And so I thought I heard you say something about vendors, but then you said you have homemakers. So how is it working?
Okay. So we, our general revenue side, so we deal with state and federal funding through our area agency on aging. So we also contract out, because I mean, we have 700 or so clients that need service, and obviously our homemaking department's not going to be able to, you know, we kept 17 employees left, so we're not going to be that many clients, and we couldn't do it anyway because we don't have the personal care license, but like on that side, it's a different
department. Oh, so for personal care, I was going to say, I didn't know that AAA covered homemaking. They don't. They cover the personal care stuff.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Both, but yeah.
All right.
But anyway, I'm just saying as a whole, we're seeing it, but it's all of these other, you know, we have a list of 50 other vendors that we utilize for this other program, and it's all the same.
I have a question. I wrote that you only have, you lost 11, you have 27 left. I don't know how many you have left, but I guess the issue is, how many other of the agencies, of your agencies, have done what Gulf Coast JFCS has done, mandated the vaccines?
I mean, as far out.
Any of you. What? I'm sorry. Tatiana's Edmonton has.
You have? Okay. We haven't. And I'll tell you, you know, the recent mandate doesn't impact us. You know, we're private duty. We're not Medicare or Medicaid funded. Those kind of mandates only can reach so far as what the government funds. So it's a federal mandate for federally funded services. But so far it hasn't extended, you know, because that would be a state by state thing, right? The governors of the states would have to agree to mandate that. And well, we're in Florida. I think you all know very well that's not going to happen here.
Yeah. Maryland, governor mandated.
And we never
did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What?
They mandated vaccines in Maryland. So how does that impact?
For businesses, for private, well, you have hospice.
Or if you do home care, they even went for the fact from not just home health, but if you do home care, you know, then yes.
And that was a state initiative, right? That was the governor.
Yeah, this is a state initiative. Yes.
Okay. Martella, how many staff have you lost, homemakers? Because you have a huge operation too.
Yeah, they've done that, but JESSA, you know, itself has not turned around and put that into place. I would say we're probably at 85%. It's coming, you know, I would say by mid-October, it's coming. You know,
do you think people will leave? Do you think you're going to get to 100% or you're going to lose caregivers?
No, we'll lose caregivers because we've contacted, you know, like I said, we're probably sitting at 85%. And I know that there's a easy 5% that said, no way, period. you know, that's, you know, most of them are younger, and they're just too afraid that it's going to affect their reproductive, you know, situation. So they will choose to go work for Walmart, you know, or, you know, everybody. Montgomery
County, any industry where it's not mandated until one day.
Montgomery County's at 15 as a minimum wage. So, you know, in as much as, let's just say a state's minimum is 11, well, everybody's competing for that. So everybody's got, you know, the Walmarts and the McDonald's have gone up to 13. So you got to look at Montgomery County at a minimum being 15, you know, in order to attract people, you got to be in the 16s and up.
Being that this is changing the whole nature of the hourly working industry, I feel so daunted. I'm sure you do too. Like, I feel like meeting after meeting, this is going to be the conversation, because we need some serious change to the whole system. And I don't know how much control we each have as individual businesses to make that happen. I just, it's the nature of workers. It's we're like participating and witnesses to a real shift in the United States working economy. We're just living history.
I think what it's going to force is that it's one thing, you know, if you can get some home care through managed care, you know, through Medicare managed care or, you know, Medicaid. But on the other side, it is going to drive it to, you know, who can afford it, because you can't afford to pay caregivers $16, $17 an hour to get what you need to, you know, again, caregivers are driving the bus, as we've all said. But you got to, in order to accommodate that, you got to push your bill rates up. And that just pretty much, you know, makes it not feasible for, you know, people of modest income. You know, that's retired and have modest income.
It was already difficult. It was already difficult for them. So,
and my concern on top of that is some of our caregivers who are refusing to get vaccinated are going to go and become, you know, private duty that get paid in cash, and just, you know, a friend of a friend knows somebody who needs.
But I'm surprised clients will take them. You know, they'll find people who will want them.
You know what? Sometimes they will, but also some of these agencies aren't, sometimes these families, somebody's going to produce a fake vaccination card and they're not going to really.
Right. It's not regulated. That's the whole point, right, Debbie? It's not regulated. So anything can happen.
I can say I'm vaccinated, but, you know, what proof, you know, anybody can buy a card off of eBay these days. So, you know, we're in good shape, much like Ardella. About 80-85% vaccinated, but I can't hire. So I can't, I mean, I've already had the cut. I also, Lisa, had my performance review last week. Like, we're not going to make any money this year. We're just not. And
our budget is flat as well. We budgeted for they're flat.
Right. I said to my CEO, like, please tell me that the board already knows this. So when it comes to December, I'm not in danger of losing my job, because I just couldn't make money this year. I mean, we just can't. I don't know how anybody can. I'm sure. I don't know. I'd be very curious to see some industry numbers just on the whole. But just from our small sample, everybody nodding their head.
Well, it's just about survival. That's what I said to the person I report to. We always generated money for our agency to go into other programs. But this year, it's about survival. Can we survive? Can we ride out the wave of this pandemic? That's what it's about. Because otherwise, we're not going to be making money.
Right. And as you know, I said to my boss, I'm glad that counseling is on the rise, because that'll cover the gap in the budget that we can't fill.
That's, you know, funny.
Because they're going to be able to make more revenue from counseling, because everybody and their sister, for that matter, needs, you know, is going, getting telehealth or online therapy. And even though the reimbursements aren't great, they're better than zero. So,
yeah, that's a really good point.
But they're struggling to hire too, because there's just not enough therapists for all the jobs that are out there. But
And there's a shortage for everything that's a human need, right? Anything that's like a human social services need, there's just not enough.
What's happening in Virginia, in Richmond? You guys are here. and we haven't heard from you. You gals, I should say. You're muted.
You're on mute.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, thank you.
Are you new?
Everyone thought we were a little bit late, but we were doing an interview, so nothing stops the interview anymore. So we're having some of the same issues that you guys are having. Hiring is hard. We do not have 80% of our caregivers vaccinated, and we're preparing to send them an email this week to tell them that, you know, this mandate may be coming. But I can tell by the survey that I put out the 2-3 weeks ago that, you know, there was alarm there for the people that did not want to get vaccinated. And I'd say it was a good 3-5% that did not want to do that. The alarm was them calling me back and saying, my job's in jeopardy. I'm going to go ahead and quit. So I can already tell that, you know, it's not going to be a good turnout once we send this email. So what I'm trying to do is everything I can to keep the good caregivers that we have. You know, I'm starting an appreciation week and something ongoing where I can get them involved and coming into the office and showing them that we really do appreciate them. Because other than that, there's not much we have. There's no leeway there for us to be able to keep them. When they think they can keep jumping from job to job, I started getting an influx of people coming to JFS Richmond. But now that we are starting to do the same thing and I'm asking the question up front, I'm finding that they're not vaccinated, and I know that they're not going to be here long if they're not willing to. So that's one of the questions I ask in the interview, or is that something you're thinking about considering? And the ones that say no, I know that I can't do anything with that, with the mandate upcoming. I know it's coming. So I think it's just really hard all the way around. The appreciation is just like a last ditch effort to try to, you know, come get all of our people together and say, we care about you. We want you to be here for the ones that want to stay. But for the ones that don't, I want to get vaccinated. We've sent out a lot of material for them. We're also putting together a Facebook live where they can go on and talk to a doctor that may be able to take care of some of their concerns. And something that came up here is a lot of the people that are not getting vaccinated are African-American. And so we felt like maybe we need to hit that community with a doctor of color that will allow them to maybe ask questions that they may generally not ask or be afraid to ask. So Facebook Live is going to be where we do that, where we provide them with a doctor that can maybe address some of their concerns. Some of them are religious concerns, so, you know, we're trying to work with them the best that we can, but educate right now, educate, educate, educate is what we're doing, and we're trying to see if that's going to make a difference. And for some, I've had one or two turn around and say, you know, I think I might do that now, but the majority that said no are sticking to no.
And are your clients, by and large, requesting vaccinated caregivers?
They are. They're starting to now. We have some that don't care, but most of them do, and it's a problem.
It's interesting. We noticed. That's yeah. Oh, because for a while they were kind of tolerant, and they were okay, and they felt good knowing they were vaccinated, and they felt okay. Then the science and information changed, and they wanted to make sure that the other person was vaccinated. Then the reality changed and people are getting COVID even if they already are vaccinated, which you would think that maybe would make them think, hey, it doesn't even matter as long as I'm vaccinated, because, you know, I could get it, she could get it, even if she's vaccinated. I know I'm vaccinated, so if I do catch it, I should have less severe symptoms. But now instead, we're not. We're seeing now like a push of vaccinated only.
I think the Delta variant changed things.
Mm-hmm. We don't have any better answers.
I wondered what your, how do you pronounce your name? Duane?
It's actually Duan. It's Duan. Like Juan, J-U-A-N, but just with a D.
Okay, so Duan. And who are you with?
JFS. And oh, I'm sorry. This is Isis. She's an intern. I'm sorry.
Aisha?
I'm only Isis.
Isis. Okay, I'm terrific.
I'm only so I'm just learning the ropes from her. She's been a great mentor since I've been here. And it's a nice community that I'm lucky to be able to help her and assist her. And so we're going through it. We have COVID, but we just all need to stay positive and I think the number one thing is having good management and being there for your caregivers and supporting them. That's what a lot of these caregivers need, reassurance. So,
spoken like a true intern. I love that. So, Dawn,
give her 4 months.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. But Dawn, I wanted to know, like, for example, you can put it in the chat or you can tell us, like, what is your appreciate? What kinds of things are you doing weekly that are bringing people into the office to, you know, get appreciated? Are you giving them cards? Are you having ice cream socials? What are you doing?
Ice cream socials work. I'm so sorry. Ice cream socials definitely work. Our next thing that we're doing for October is going to be Fall in Love with JFS. So we're going to have some type of fall treat to get them into the door. So as simple as it may seem, you know, the ones that we have, we want to keep them because they can very well, now that everyone's asking for vaccinated caregivers and they're vaccinated, they can go to the next agency that may be paying them a little bit higher. So the whole idea is just to see what I can do to show the ones that are here that we appreciate them and continue to educate the population that is not vaccinated. So
it's a nice touch.
I know we're probably over-educating them, but it's the only thing that we can do at this point.
Is it okay to ask, if anyone doesn't mind, it's obviously completely optional, putting in the chat sort of the pay rate range, either for your agency or for your locale? Just to give us an idea. That's just curious. I'll put hours.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You I'll say just it out loud. Oh, what is yours, Marissa?
Yeah. Oh, so ours was always traditionally like 10, 11, and we bumped everyone up now. So now we're much more between 11.50 and 13.25. And it's still not competitive enough. It's still not competitive enough.
Well, what is West Palm Beach pay?
Yeah, I think it's around the same. We did bump it up. I'm just going to look. I have it in an email to tell you exactly.
Maryland or Virginia? You guys are together. Close by, I mean.
We were at 13. And then our CEO, again, her goal is to get us to be able to compete with the minimum wage and anticipate the increase to the minimum wage. So we went on July 1st or August 1st to 14 and 14.50, depending on their experience and how long. We have some that are as high as 16 because they were grandfathered in. But as we've talked about also before, we've had issues with our Holocaust rate. So we still don't make nearly as much, you know, we haven't.
You really need counseling.
We haven't increased our rates either.
There's no way. Yeah.
In more than a year.
Well, Montgomery County, you guys, I know, paid the most, it seems like. And you were talking about that before too, because you went to the minimum wage a little bit more than that, right, Ardella? Yeah. What about in Richmond?
Okay, we're sitting around $9.50 to $13.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm. And Tatiana, what do you got? What do you and Elaine? I don't know.
Well, we're paying starting $16.75 plus 6% vacation for household, $17.85 or $17.75 plus 6% for personal care. But if we see somebody with a lot, you know, good skills and expertise, we're willing to go up higher, even to $19 an hour. So it really depends on the candidate now, whereas before it was just across the board. We're now looking at each person as an individual and what they would bring to the program.
And that's Canadian currency, though.
Canadian currency.
Yeah, so it's a little less.
A little bit less. Yeah, we start with 18 and we can go up to 25 depending whether they have a license as a healthcare aide. So usually healthcare aide, they get close to 25, but only if they provide personal care, because the healthcare aide might do housekeeping. And the housekeeping, we prefer to pay like lower rates, of which it kind of complicates, you know, the calculation, but that's, we try to separate. And we don't have many trained healthcare aides, especially when it comes to the Russian speaking community, like really hard to find. Most of the caregivers just trained by experience and whatever courses, trainings we provide them on the side. And we still have access to claims conference funds that sort of support the training. So we still use this possibility to at least kind of make sure all the caregivers have solid training in different areas of home care. But unfortunately, we don't have many like really licensed healthcare aides.
You're allowed to send the non-licensed but trained by you for personal care?
Yes, we are allowed. We prefer though not to do it, but we come to the problem when we have clients with extremely heavy needs and we don't have skilled workers. So we do take this risk. We do explain the clients. We do talk to the families. And we mitigate with this risk with as much as possible training. We collaborate with local provincial home care services to make sure they can at least provide some sort of education for our caregiver when they when the client refuses to take the provincial home care services and prefers our caregiver. So at least some sort of transition is done by training our caregivers by the provincial home care. And it's a very short like training that they can do, but still it's better than nothing.
Okay, we have a few minutes left. We wanted to ask the group here if going into the next year, this time of day is still convenient for you guys. So if it's not for anyone, please just let us know. Otherwise, we think we're kind of going to stick with something similar like this.
Yeah, it's fine for me. I don't think I had a chance to say what we're doing.
Oh, please.
So we've decided to increase our hourly rates, which we have done effective September the 1st. So our hourly rates have gone up. We don't seem to have much of a fallout as a result of that. Plus we are charging an amount for people who get over 40 hours of care a week. We're charging a care management fee because or you could call it a coordination fee. It's a lot to handle when it's a heavier client with all these caregivers. Absolutely. And then you've got a team working and there's lots of issues that come up. It's not like a regular, you know, 4 hours every week. So we're doing that as well.
That's a good move.
Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. we've also increased the rates. So we've looked at, I mean, our what we're paying our staff. So it's not going into profit. It's going into keeping who we have. We have some really star home support workers. So we have increased their rates. We are giving them bonuses. Like we want to maintain what we have. As I said, it's about survival now. And we are also blitzing every possibility to hire. Like we're on Facebook, we're, you know, on the usual, you know, other sites, employment sites, we're going to go into community center. We're going to do everything. We're just right now, Jillian is on holiday, so she's not here to speak to that, but we're really going to try as hard as we can. 80 to 85% of our staff are double vaccinated. We are not mandating anyone, but we do ask clients if they want someone who's double vaccinated, then we can only say to the home support worker, do you meet this criteria? We're not allowed to ask if they've been double vaccinated. If they volunteer it to us, fine, but we can't ask that. So that's what we're doing. Increase fees, increase hourly rates. We have signing bonuses, other bonuses, extra management fees. That's how we're managing.
Elaine, can you share about, I know it's Canadian, but what you're charging for that care management or coordination?
$300, $300 a month.
$300 a month.
Nice.
Or 40 hour or more.
Per week.
Per week client. Okay.
Now, are they now, receiving it direct?
It's different amount of money though, because it's Canadian.
Right. We have to do the conversion. Elaine, is there direct service provided in terms of that coordination, or is it behind the scenes? Like, do they see and feel this coordination? Because it
means- Oh, they do, because we coordinate with all these services in the community. We advocate, okay. we recommend, we do a lot of stuff here. It's not just scheduling and matching. Mm-hmm. It's well right. beyond that. You know,
that's
we deal
idea.
With yeah team issues that come up. We talk to clients, doctors, nurses in the community. I mean, you guys are probably doing that too, but we actually
yeah.
decided we need to be recognized and paid for this. Like right. this is not just freebie time anymore.
Right.
Right. I spent right. 3 hours taking my client to her audiologist appointment.
Yeah.
And,
that's care management.
I don't get paid.
But Debbie,
that,
that's care management.
I
that's
can't
not
believe
home
you
support
did that,
anymore.
Debbie. Oh my gosh. Seriously, that's beyond.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's what we have. A, we're so short staffed. B, you have people who don't drive. Like,
right.
and this is
no,
also
I agree.
Yeah,
this weekend,
one of our 24/7 right. clients, you know, you
right.
do what you need to do. For, it's, it yeah. is care management to that point, which is why I would.
Doing that extra. Yeah, right. I did go to a client this weekend because a caregiver didn't show up and I just live close by and I just felt so embarrassed to the family. And I was like, you know what? I live close by. How about I go say hi to mom and check in so I can do something like that? Obviously, I'm not charging for that. I'm just so right. happy that they don't be angry.
Right.
But I love the idea of doing that because
yeah,
it is a lot
idea.
Of work. It's like when you have a client, if you're a therapist, and you have a client and they take up so much of your time. You know,
right.
something has to be done because it doesn't make sense because you're not just working with that client for 1 hour. You know, you're calling the schools, you're calling the parents. You're,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Right. It's a lot. Right.
And we're advocating.
I think people understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people understand it.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. Natasha and I are nodding. We're going to
yeah.
thank you, Elaine.
But Elaine,
we brought this up. It's such a
community group.
But
we have a
validating
point.
Yeah,
we have geriatric care management, but then you have complicated cases where they don't want it. And they don't want to pay the geriatric care management. But, you know, I guess they don't have a lot of options on care on agencies right now, right? If it's well-staffed and they like us, they might have to agree to for some sort of extra charge for all the management. Anyway, we only have a couple of minutes now. And I don't know if anyone has thought to themselves about a particular topic. And if you don't know now, please feel free to email anybody, email Lisa or email me or Debbie or all of us if you come up with an idea, even between now and our next meeting, if you come up with an idea or something happens, because we know, we don't know, right? Everything is up in the air. Anything could change between now and then, and it might be the hot topic that we all know we're going to have to discuss. So if there's any ideas now, go ahead. Anyone?
I just wrote to you, Marissa, that our next meeting is
November 11th. Okay.
At 1 p.m.
So if you want to mark it down, November 11th at 1 p.m. is the next meeting.
And if there's anything burning, you know, write
yeah,
to me,
between,
Marissa, Debbie,
see.
You know,
right.
like she said, because, you know, we really want this to be for you. But I will say, you know, I run all of these groups. This is a very although maybe small affinity group, it's very robust. You guys, you know, learn a lot from each other. You know each other. I mean, it's a solid group. So I always enjoy these meetings, just FYI, you know, I feel like we get a lot out of them and I'm not even in the field, but I learn a lot.
I would also put a plug in if you had, and then Ardell, you can go down. If you guys have other colleagues in Jewish communities that do what we do and they're not a part of this group, please
yeah.
let us know and we'll make sure they're formally invited and include them. You know, yes, we're small but mighty, but we can always use more brain power from around the country. I realize not every from around the continent, frankly, and the Jewish community, every BFS or, you know, the like has a similar agency. But if you do, and in Virginia, other people
right.
or in Maryland, if Baltimore has something similar, if you have colleagues that would want to be included, please let us know and we'll introduce
That's
ourselves
right.
and invite them. Ardella, what do you have?
Yeah, I just want I was curious to see what was the minimum wage in counties bordering Montgomery County, because Montgomery County has been, you know, we sit right out of DC, and DC went to a minimum wage higher X years ago, started that process. And So I was curious, the one north of, or kind of northeast of us going towards Baltimore is in the 11s. And then the one that sits due east of us, which is where a lot of caregivers do live, Prince George's County, again, they're in the 11s. So they come from, or we don't get that many from Howard, because Howard tends to go to Baltimore to work, you know, that direction. But, you know, as much as they live in Prince George's County, and they, needless to say, they want to work for a business in Montgomery County to get the higher wage, they don't want to travel. Yeah. So, you know, if, you know, Montgomery County,
it's a catch 22.
Sorry?
I said it's a catch 22.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, I only go 10 miles from my house. Well, geez, that barely puts you into the county, you know? Yeah. So it's just a, as you say, catch 22, but yeah, they, and they drive the train. I will only work if you pay me this, and I only want to travel this distance, yada, 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 you know, and I only want these hours.
I know. And it seems very unreasonable a lot of times, and we can't even believe it, but we're stuck with it.
Right. You only just want to work from 3 to 4:30 every other Tuesday, you know. And I'm not going 3 miles past my house, which is nowhere near any of your clients,
right?
But please hire me.
Right. And that's how we start off. We're like, our clients are in this and this location. Okay. But then they're like, you know, I don't want to go here, there. Okay. Well, you applied with us. We didn't. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, hire me. But then contact them.
Complain about every place.
Right. No, thank you.
Or never show up for their first year. On that happy note.
Yes. All right.
Thanks everybody for being here. And I hope everyone continues to stay safe and healthy. Lisa, Marissa, any other closing?
No, maybe we can just put all our positive energy with intention that hopefully by the next meeting, something positive changed our situation.
Right. Amen. If anybody has a magic hiring experience,
it would be
there. Don't wait till November. Don't wait till November to share.
Let us know.
Right. Right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you all.
All right.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.